It's the weekend, time for rest, relaxation, and another edition of New Wisco Weekend, a weekly look at issues, arts, entertainment, culture, and everything that makes New Wisco home. Now, here's your host, Northeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief, Lisa Hale.
On today's episode, we let travel and the change of seasons be our inspiration. Not so much the change of the season from summer to fall, but from free and easy to back at it. We've got a cover story on the improvements in and around the Appleton International Airport. Terry Barr catches up with a Milwaukee musician who puts Wisco stories to song. And Amanda Nimmer adds some handy tips for taking that last road trip before summer ends. Conrad Krieger talks high school football with John Mino. And Brittany Merlot describes the jet stream to us. We open with a few fun ideas if you still hope to make a quick road trip this summer. Our Terry Barr talks to an editor who writes about all things Wisconsin and helps narrow down the choices.
I want to welcome Christina Laurie. Christina is the Up North News editor. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
I know people are trying to squish as much as they can before summer is gone. So what do you think about maybe your top three spots that you would suggest? Should we start with number three?
It would be the Wisconsin Dells. If you haven't been there in a few years, it's completely transformed. It's no longer just for tourists. They have an awesome food truck park that's open year round, and it's actually indoors. They have some of the best supper clubs in the state. Ishnala is, you need to put it on your bucket list. I don't think you can fully declare yourself a Wisconsinite unless you've dined there at least once. The water parks have grown immensely too, if you haven't been there in a while, and they have a ton of rides that are super fun for adults as well.
People can't make it to the Dells, or they're thinking, well, I already did the Dells this summer. How about an option for number two of your top choices?
Okay, I would like everyone at least once in their lifetime needs to go specifically to Green Bay, not for a Packers game. But there is so much else to do. There is this great place called Marique's that I swear has the best fish fry in the state. It's absolutely divine. I am very motivated by sweet treats. The absolute best Kringle in the state is at Uncle Mike's. It was, and don't just take my word for it. This won North America's best Kringle multiple years. Green Bay has really done just a great job of making the city very accessible and affordable. So there's Bay Beach Amusement Park there. All the tickets are still 25 cents, but a ride on Elvis's favorite roller coaster, which was rebuilt there, is only about $3. So, I mean, where else are you going to be able to ride a roller coaster for $3?
And brag that it was Elvis's. How about number one? What would be your top one, especially for families?
I feel like the first two are very obvious. This one's a little bit more niche and very Wisconsin, and it's perfect this time of year. Check out Warren's, Wisconsin, specifically for the Cranberry Fest. This town only has 350 people, but for every September, it gets 150,000 visitors. It's just a boom for the entire area. And you don't have to go specifically for the festival. You can tour Cranberry Bogs anytime during September or October. A fun fact about Wisconsin is while we're obviously called like America's Dairyland, we're actually the number one cranberry producer in the world. We produce 51% of the world supply of cranberries. And if you go for the festival, which is always the last weekend of September, if you want to mark your calendars, they sell literally, I'm not exaggerating, thousands of different products made with cranberry. So you'll find cranberry elephant ears, cranberry coffee, cranberry cotton candy, cranberry brats. This is Wisconsin.
And again, talking to Christina Laurie, she is the editor for Up North News. Christina, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you, Christina and Terry. If you enjoy tidbits like this about Wisconsin, check out the Up North News website, upnorthnewswi.com. Up North News also has a weekday radio show airing on our Civic Media sister radio stations.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
This is New Wisco Weekend on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS.
Nothing can bring a community together better than football. Conrad Krieger reports.
Fall sports are starting in northeastern Wisconsin, football being one of them. When we talk about local sports, we go to high school, where these athletes are also students and young kids getting ready for their futures. I talk with sports broadcast veteran John Mino to talk all things high school football. John, why is high school football so important to the community?
Well, I'll tell you what, it brings the community together like nothing else. It's incredible. Especially, you know, we're talking, we did the pregame special, you know, the entire sports staff at NBC 26. We're all asked, what will be your favorite venue? But the game I'm looking most forward to is the smaller schools, like a Luxembourg Casco in Wrightstown. And when you go into those towns, the whole city, you just see signs up and it's like a movie from the, you know, the 1950s or something, where the entire town rallies around their high school football team for that night. It gives every small town an identity. And I just think that's cool.
You're going to be calling games this year. Where can we hear you?
Well, it's through NBC 26 with Ted Stefaniak, but we're on Channel 32 every Friday night. We've got one coming up, Preble hosting Oshkosh West, which is going to be fun. Preble's got a new field and everything like that. And then we've got a slate of games that are just incredible. I think we've got some of the, we were looking at the schedule and we were just talking, our Northeastern Wisconsin has such great football these days. It's incredible.
What has been like your favorite memory in Northeastern Wisconsin covering some of these high school games?
I think the best one was probably 5 years ago, state semifinal game in Oshkosh at Titan Stadium. Mind-numbingly cold, windy, freezing rain and snow during the entire game. And I felt so bad for all of our camera people. I mean, it was crazy what they went through. And the game went into overtime, and I'll never forget this. Kimberly, you know, was going for, I think it was their third straight state championship against Fond du Lac. And Fond du Lac had scored and kicked the extra point. So in overtime, they were up by 7. Kimberly comes down, they score a touchdown. And everybody assumes they're going to kick the extra point and we're going to continue in overtime, right? They run a play. It was a jump pass from the quarterback to a tight end that they had never run before in history of that coaching staff, okay? But during the week, their coach, Steve Jones, who is wonderful, he said, okay, I want all my coaching staff to come up with this scenario. And he literally talked about that scenario. You need a 2-point conversion to win. We've been scouted all season. They know every one of our formations, every one of our plays. And this one coach came up with a play that he ran in like 1966. That's how far back it went. If they didn't make the 2-point conversion, they weren't going to the state, and they eventually won the state championship, but they ran a play from 1966, and it set them into another state championship. I will never forget that game.
Have you been looking around Northeastern Wisconsin to see could be a contender this year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, let's just be honest. Bayport is going to just reload. I know they've got a new coach this year, and that could be interesting. They're going to reload. West DePere could be spectacular. Again, DePere is really making strides in the smaller school division. You know, Luxembourg Casco is always good. Notre Dame has a phenomenal running back. You know, in the smaller schools, the Wrightstowns of the world and the Freedoms of the world, and those kind of schools play such good hard-nosed football that it's going to be fun. There's nothing I enjoy more than Friday nights with high school football. And I'll tell you a quick story. When I made one of my little trips overseas to Iraq, before I left, I asked the guys, I said, what do you guys miss that, you know, people might not appreciate as much back here? What are you guys looking forward to? And one of the guys said, high school football, walking up to a stadium and hearing the high school band and everybody's excited and they're selling, you know, hot dogs for $2 for the booster club and all the parents are wearing their sons' jerseys. That's a special thing. That's a really special entity that we have here, and unbelievably fortunate to play a small part in it.
That was sports broadcast veteran John Mino. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Conrad Krieger.
I wish that I could fly into the sky so very high, just like a dragonfly.
Want to get away one last time this summer, but you're on a budget? New Wisco Weekend's Amanda Nimmer has humorous commentary on just how you can do that.
Who's ready for a road trip? Summer's almost over. You gotta get at least one in if you haven't already. And what better way to do a road trip than on an absolute budget, because you are broke, so broke, but you want to have fun. All you really got to do is make sure you got the gas to get there and back, and maybe a little extra for some food and shenanigans. You don't need to spend a lot. You just need to have a little. And yes, I'm talking from experience, where I have been on several of these types of road trips myself. With barely any money in your pocket, but a destination you gotta get to. In fact, the most memorable one was when I got kicked out of Canada, but that is a whole story for another time. Let me tell you how this works. Step one, pregame. Get those favorite drinks and munchies of yours for cheap beforehand and put them in your trusty garbage bag like we did. And something to consider that even though they're a delicious dessert, Twizzlers can also be the breakfast of champions. Having all of your roadside munchies already available for you in the car is going to make A, your drive time so much easier, minus bathroom breaks, and B, hopefully stop you from caving in to those roadside munchies. Step two, don't pass up a salad bar. Of course, you're going to need real food and, you know, let's face it, cars don't have fridges. So if you see those pizza ranches, those pizza huts, those old mom and pops, heck, even an Olive Garden with unlimited soup, salad, breadsticks, pull over. This is your chance to fill up. Step three, where are you going to sleep? Well, in the car, friend. That's why you don't road trip alone. But if you do, you're still going to sleep in the car. You're just going to sleep in a parked car. For us, we took turns driving through the worst state that ever existed, and that's Montana. Oh my God, it felt like I was in purgatory. And what's worse is Montana tricks you, man. You're like driving through, you're seeing the mile markers go down to zero and then they restart and you're like, oh yay, I'm in the next state. This must be Idaho. Nope, you're in freaking Montana still. So in cases like this, in order to protect your sanity and you are driving with friends, remember, sleep in the car, get comfortable being a little bit uncomfortable. And if you have the extra money, choose one night wisely to recoup in a hotel. And here we come with step four, which is never skip the roadside attractions. For instance, maybe you are on I-90 going east or west, driving through South Dakota. And for some reason, you have been seeing signs about cheap cup of coffee, places called Wall Drug. And after probably the 90th sign, because you're on the 90th mile of this, you're like, I'm going to pull over in Wall Drug. Even if you don't buy anything, the experience is more than worth it because you finally figured out the mystery of what is Wall Drug and how can they afford so many billboards. Never pass up some of the roadside attractions because you don't have to spend money to have a good time. This brings us to our last step, which is step five. And that's if you see a place with Wi-Fi, pull over. Because let's face it, you're going to be out of range a lot, especially when you're in the Western states. So go ahead and download a podcast, new songs, or an audiobook. And that way, you're not going to be bored along the way. This is now your opportunity to reach out to your loved ones, let them know you're alive, that this wasn't a stupid decision to go on a road trip with barely any money, or you can do the How I Met Your Mother challenge and download one song and one song only and listen to it for 14 hours straight. And that is The Proclaimers. I'm going to be 500 miles. And don't worry, you only go a little bit insane. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer, and there you go.
A little bit earlier, we told you the Green Bay area is considered one of the top three destinations for a quick in-state trip. Coming up later on New Wisco Weekend, why did one musician write an entire album singing the praises of the Bay's historic amusement park? Plus, we'll have a story on the Einstein Project and the jet stream, all coming up on New Wisco Weekend.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
This is New Wisco Weekend on Civic Media Radio stations WISS 98.3 in Oshkosh and WGBW 97.9 in Green Bay. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Coming up, the jet stream, Appleton's International Airport is expanding, and we have our truth booth. First, I have a story on the Einstein Project. Not every child has access to robust STEM learning experiences, so the Einstein Project of Green Bay works to provide hands-on learning materials for thousands of children in the area through science kits that are loaned to schools and through the Makerspace in the Brown County STEM Innovation Center. Dennis Rockhill is the Makerspace director of the Einstein Project. He said he and two friends started the Makerspace 10 years ago.
Tim was involved in Destination Imagination. John and I helped coach robotics teams, so it seemed like a really good fit to bring us three together. But we really started to focus on youth and creativity development and, just basically hands-on skills.
Rockhill says that hands-on science learning provided in the Makerspace really fuels a passion for science in young people.
I don't know if you've ever seen the model of the human body, you know, and how much of the brain is used for each body part, you know, but the hands of this model are huge. You know, they're like the largest part of the body, and that is because so much of your brain goes to controlling, you know, these digits and phalanges. The combination of working with your hands and doing creative work is super good for your brain and super good for, you know, just emotional and intelligent development.
Kim Lemberger is the director of learning for the Einstein Project. She said for the past 30 years, the project has brought creative learning and science kits into schools at all grade levels, from kindergarten through high school.
We've been upgrading our curriculum, and we have been continuing to evolve our curriculum to meet today's students where they're at.
Lemberger said getting Einstein Project kits and curriculums in your local school is as simple as reaching out to the principal or the curriculum director, who can then contact them. Programs like the Einstein Project in Green Bay also help to serve to inspire scientific curiosity in girls. Rock Hill says there have been some strides made with girls in STEM education, but more needs to be done.
You know, the push is still on, though. We're not there yet. So we need to keep doing everything we can to encourage that trend to move forward. So we still got a lot of work to do there.
Lemberger says the Einstein Project hopes to set up scientific knowledge throughout our communities.
And our goal really isn't to create little scientists or little engineers. It's to create scientifically literate citizens.
The Einstein Project operates out of the Brown County STEM Innovation Center at 2019 Technology Way in Green Bay. Learn more at einsteinproject.org. Well, the midnight headlight, find you on a rainy night, steep grade up ahead, slow me down, making no time.
I gotta keep rolling. This is New Wisco Weekend on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS.
You've heard the term jet stream before. Is it a travel term, or is it a weather term, or is it just fun to say? New Wisco meteorologist Brittany Merlot reports.
Maybe it's implied, but did you know that airplanes, those commercial jets, typically fly in the jet stream? And planes flying eastward get a powerful boost, but those flying westward will fight an equally powerful headwind. Jet streams are relatively narrow bands of strong wind in the upper levels of the atmosphere, typically occurring around 30,000 feet in elevation. Winds blow from west to east within them, but the band often wobbles north and south because the jet stream follows the boundaries between hot and cold air. The National Weather Service says,
those winds drive where weather systems go and how strong they are. Really, they often separate some of the colder air to the north and the warmer air to the south here in North America, in simple terms.
Since these hot and cold air boundaries are most pronounced in winter, jet streams are the strongest then, as they try to equalize Earth's temperatures.
Tends to be the battle zone of weather. So weather systems tend to track along the jet stream. So usually you have a difference in warmth and cold and moist and dry underneath the jet stream. You usually have that difference. And that's, again, where precipitation systems track and where you get rain and or snow, depending on the season.
And there are several different jet streams or jets around the globe. The polar jet is located between the 50 to 60 degree latitude lines, while the subtropical jet is located around the 30 degree latitude line. Jet streams are 4 to 8 miles in height and can reach speeds of more than 275 miles per hour.
Right now here in August, the polar jet stream is well, well north of the area. It's also weaker than it tends to be in winter. And the subtropical jet stream tends to influence our weather more. These shift south during the transition season of autumn. And during the autumn and spring, when we have our strongest weather systems, the ones that bring the most wind and the greatest temperature difference, for instance, Wisconsin can be seeing snow in the north and thunderstorms in the south. That's because both jet streams tend to be somewhat close in proximity to each other. They may both be in the United States. For instance, the polar jet stream in the northern United States and the subtropical in the central or southern United States. So in a typical winter, the polar jet stream is usually over the northern United States, northern to central United States, and the subtropical one from Texas to Florida over the Gulf of Mexico or so in a typical winter. Last winter, the subtropical jet stream was more in the middle of the United States and the polar jet stream more in southern Canada.
which is why we were so warm and without snow. They meander around the globe, dipping and rising in altitude and latitude, splitting at times and forming eddies. Sometimes they even disappear altogether to reappear somewhere else.
The jet stream tends to dip at times during the winter. Even a mild winter like last year will have one or two episodes where that dips, or in other words, points more southward and sends the cold continental air from Canada southward into Wisconsin and other parts of the Great Lakes. Now, how frequently that happens and how established it becomes depends on a lot of other factors such as El Nino or La Nina and other teleconnections, as we say, between water temperatures and other weather patterns across the globe.
And with scientists predicting a La Nina for this winter.
When we're very cold, that tends to be south to north in Alaska and Western Canada. And they tend to be warmer than normal when Wisconsin is colder than normal in the wintertime, for instance.
One way of visualizing this is to consider a river. For this reason, it is said that the jet streams are rivers of the air that, yes, commercial airline pilots have used since 1952. And as far as passengers are concerned, one of the more hazardous consequences of encountering a jet stream is clear air turbulence. It's a result of the vertical and horizontal wind shear associated with the jet streams. And pilots can't see it coming because it isn't associated with the weather pattern.
Ladies and gentlemen, please fasten your seatbelts.
And these can be strong enough to cause an airplane to suddenly drop as much as 100 feet.
We are expecting some turbulence. Thank you.
But don't let that stop you from escaping our Wisconsin weather, especially when we turn into the frozen tundra. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
On New Wisco Weekend, our cover story, Appleton International Airport's Jesse Funk discussing the growth of ATW, is coming up right after the news. This is New Wisco Weekend from Civic Media on WISS and WGBW. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. It's time for our cover story. This week, we're looking at travel. The Appleton International Airport is the fastest growing airport in Wisconsin. It expects to see over 1 million passengers coming and going through it this year. Jesse Funk, the Air Service and Business Development Manager at the Appleton International Airport, appeared on Civic Media's Mino and the Mayor show. Here's a part of that interview with Jim Schmidt and John Mino.
I've been the Air Service and Business Development Manager at the Appleton Airport since October of 22, so coming up on about a year and a half now. And really, since Abe Weber, our director, became the director there in 2013, we've just been on a path to be a better airport. And not to say that the people before him didn't do well either, because Appleton, you know, has always tried to be the best airport we could be for the people of Northeast Wisconsin. But Abe started as an intern at the Appleton Airport and worked his way on up to be a director, and just has built a team, including myself, that are just very passionate about not only the airport, but about serving the people in Northeast Wisconsin and in aviation in general.
And I think trips, people who travel, it's not just the wheels up, the wheels down. You're part of their travel experience.
Yeah, and it's great that you bring that up. I think, as we look at the passenger experience, and that's something that we've tried to really dive into and understand. And the more you dive into it, the more complicated it becomes, right? Because there are passengers who want to arrive at their gate literally as the plane is boarding. Yeah. Right. So, arrive within 15 minutes of the departure, and we have to be able to accommodate them. And there's others that want to, that want to get to the airport and be sitting at the gate 2 hours before their flight arrives. And we have to be able to accommodate them.
I'm actually that guy, believe it or not.
You are you? That guy?
I am that guy. Because I'm always nervous about missing a plane. Isn't that crazy? I've got this weird thing about missing a plane. Todd, you the same way?
And that's why I would never take a voucher or anything like that. We were talking about that earlier. I have a plan. I want to follow that plan. Follow plan. Right?
Yeah. Sure.
Let's see. I'm the first guy to hit the button. I'm off. I'll take it.
Do you guys, he was talking about that. I had a voucher one time for anywhere in the country and I never used it.
Okay.
Because it was hard to get it scheduled and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, so each airline does things a little bit different. So the four airlines that we have at the Appleton Airport are Allegiant, Delta, American, and United. And so whenever, a flight, there's an IROP or irregular operation, they take part in accommodating their travelers in various ways, or as well as if the flight is overbooked. And yes, the flights do get overbooked because there are people that don't make their flights, so they want to have a full flight.
What if nobody raises their hand? What if everybody says, nope, I got to get back in this? What do you do?
They keep raising.
They do.
They keep raising the offer.
Jim and I were talking about
this. You get to $1,000, somebody's going to do it. Well, but your airport, Johnny's talking about getting there early. Your restaurant is really good. That's you have good food, good burritos, good breakfast, and this is going to sound good. The only thing, and I don't complain. Right,
no,
John?
No, please.
Todd, what?
What, Farbeet?
Todd, have you ever heard a bigger lie?
Never.
In your life?
No.
The Spotted Cow's a little expensive.
Oh, my God.
Spotted Cow's a little expensive. Well, so, we talk about airport food yes, it is, a bit of a captured audience. Just like if you're at a Brewers game or a Packers game, right? There's nowhere else you can go for food. But one thing that a lot of people don't understand is all of that food has to be screened by TSA. So there's additional costs involved with both the TSA and with the restaurant employees to get that through and be secure. So there's nothing bad hiding in those boxes.
All right, so that's why. Okay, so that's why it was pre-screened Spotted Cow.
Right.
Okay. I think the cool thing, and this is something we talk about too, the number one thing we love about you guys, direct flights are the greatest thing. If you got to travel, direct flights are simply the way to go. And you guys are always looking at new places to have direct flights.
Talk about that, Jesse, and the games too that you're.
Yeah,
the Packer games.
Yeah, so that passenger experience, right? Just like you're talking about, it's always nice to get on a nonstop flight. And we work with all of our carriers. We go to various conferences throughout the year and do kind of like a speed dating thing with airports and airlines. So we talk to them, kind of try to find out where they're at about. Next destinations and things like that. So this year we have our New York flight on Allegiant. They opened up Newark, and then American Airlines started DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth. So that one just started on June 6th. And so those are two great options. They fill some holes in our route map. Dallas was the most requested unserved market that we had.
Dallas,
yeah.
Why so Dallas?
For a number of reasons. There are a lot of companies here in Northeast Wisconsin that have some tie to to Dallas.
Not tourism Dallas. Type of thing at all. Or
tourism kind of follows along with that, right?
Yeah.
If there's companies that are down there in the Dallas area, naturally you're going to have families that are family members in both locations and things like that. Also the connections to Mexico. We have a lot of manufacturing here in Northeast Wisconsin, and they have production facilities in Mexico. So a lot of travel, business travel between here and those secondary markets in Mexico. So if you think like Guadalajara and Leon, Mexico, and places like that.
But Nashville, and Jim and I were talking about this too. His daughter was in Nashville, but that's become quite the tourism. Everybody seems like you talk to somebody and say, oh, where are you going for the week? I'm going to Nashville.
Yeah.
Going to Nashville.
Those flights are full.
Well, one of the things that, Allegiant has done is allowed that last minute kind of, what are you doing this weekend? Nothing. Let's go to Nashville. Right.
Exactly. and that's what happens.
Some of those low fares, and you can jump on a flight and spend a couple nights in Nashville and have a great time, make some memories. And that's what it's all about.
You know what it's become? I've noticed a big destination for bachelorette or bachelor parties. Totally.
It has.
It definitely has.
Yeah. And there's various parts of Nashville. There's the Broadway section, which, is the most famous section, of course, but there is music all over that town and various other areas as well that is not the party scene of Broadway either.
It's you can spend a hell of a lot more on Broadway than you will on your airfare.
You can do that very very easily.
But that's such a great. I love that city. I mean, I think it's
talk about the Packer thing we were talking about.
Yeah. So I want to ask you, and that leads to this, but where do you get your data to I mean, all of a sudden, I thought that was great when you're flying to Newark now.
Sure.
And I think that's great because I go there pretty often.
I'm going to do it this summer.
Yeah, yeah. We both have kids who live in New York. But with the Packer things, how does that work? Do you do a survey or you say, look, we're going to Tennessee? No, we're in Nashville already, but San Diego or something?
So we wait for the schedule to come out in May, just like every other NFL fan. And when it does, we take a look at what might be some good options for our carriers, right? So this year it happened to be Jacksonville and in Los Angeles and then the additional Nashville flight. Well, those are places where Allegiant operates. So we, you know, we pitch that to them. We say, hey, we think these might be good. And we, you know, throw out maybe five or six options. They look at their entire network and NFL cities and where they are. Last year was Las Vegas. They added flights for the Monday night Packers game in Las Vegas. Because they're based there. Allegiant is based in Las Vegas. It's Allegiant Stadium. So that worked out very, very well. So this year, the three with Jacksonville, Los Angeles, and Nashville were just kind of a natural fit. And they said, hey, we've got extra planes. We've got extra crews. We can do this. They know the people in Northeast Wisconsin travel for Packers games. They expect those to be full. And they put those in, and we market them really on behalf of Allegiant.
But your airport has a model that works. And I want to just talk about the customer service of, you have people that you pay, because I asked the guy, are you a volunteer? Are you getting paid? Because I'm getting paid.
Yeah.
And then I sent it an application. You never got back to me. I'm just kidding.
Hospitality? You'd be the worst.
No.
Oh, my God.
I would say my first question would be, where are you going? Yeah. And I've been there. I've been in every state. So I would say,
Todd,
I've been there. And
jump in anytime.
No.
What's up with these pajamas?
You couldn't dress in time? Really? Wow.
What, are you going to Walmart?
Yeah. So, my God. I'll tell you one thing. I never buy my lingerie at Walmart. You can go on my radio show. You'll know. People will hear that.
We love all our travelers.
There you go. All right. And I would learn that. They wear the vests, and they are truly there. What?
Yeah, those are our ambassadors.
Ambassadors.
Most of them are semi-retired. They've had a career in something else, manufacturing or hospitality or whatever. And, you know, there's a... Airports can be confusing places, and even a simple, what I consider a simple airport like Appleton, and Jim, if you traveled, you've been through Atlanta and Detroit and Chicago, and those, you know, seem like complicated places. But, you know, we've had people that can't find things at the Appleton airport. And you can put up as much signage as you want, but it's just nice to have a person there to guide you and understand that, you know, this might be your first trip ever. This might be your first time on an airplane. And that's what we were talking about earlier with accommodating every single traveler. That there's people that travel that leave Monday morning and come back Friday afternoon, and they're in our Appleton airport literally 48 weeks a year. And there's others that this is their first time ever traveling. We want to be able to accommodate every single one of those travelers.
And how do you get these? Do you survey your customers? Like, there's people that may want something, I don't know, pick Denver. I don't. That's not. Yeah. How do you find the next place?
Well, we go to Denver. United and Allegiant both go to Denver. But you know, we look at, there's some great cell phone data out there, location data out there. We use about a half a dozen different sources. Social media is a very small part of that. We do enjoy our social media comments, and we see that kind of stuff. But you know, really, if you want a new route from any airport, and this doesn't matter if you live in Chicago or if you live in Appleton, if you want a new route, you have to use the airport, your home airport, to get that route. So, you know, a story I like to tell is we were talking with Delta, and I singled them out. We love Delta, but just because we had a great conversation with them, and we said, okay, what would we have to do at the Appleton airport to get a route to New York City, LaGuardia, let's just say, right? Airport in LaGuardia, right? And that would be great. And we use something called PADU, passengers daily each way, is a statistic that we use. And they said, well, at 80 PADU, we start having a conversation. Like, where could we pick up some more travelers? At 90, behind the scenes, we're getting an airplane in line. And at 100, we're somehow finding you an airplane. We're taking an airplane from somewhere else at 100 PADU. Appleton currently has 12. Huh. 12.
So they're like to do
12 passengers each way to New York every day. And we know that we lose travelers to New York to airports south of us. But every time you do that, every time you drive to an airport south of us, you're telling the airport, or you're telling the airline, excuse me, that you're okay in doing that. You're okay driving an hour and a half or 3 hours away.
Funk said the way to get more routes
through the Appleton Airport is to use the Appleton Airport, even with connecting flights. Funk was a guest on Mino and the Mayor, which airs on Civic Media Radio stations WISS 98.3 in Oshkosh and WGBW 97.9 in Green Bay. Speaking of Green Bay, the Austin Straubel International Airport is also seeing some improvements. They're getting a $2 million federal grant to purchase two snow removal trucks from MB Companies in Chilton. The grant is part of the airport improvement plan for the Federal Aviation Administration there. The snow plows will be delivered to Green Bay's Austin Straubel International Airport in September of 2025.
I'm a traveling man. Made a lot of stops all over the world, and in every port I own the heart of at least one lovely girl.
Whenever anyone on the new Wisco Weekend team is out and about doing things in the public, we bring along a recorder to collect stories from you, what you're passionate about, the things that make you tick, good or bad, what's going on with you. We call it the Truth Booth. Last month, EAA Air Venture 2024 brought thousands of people from all over the world to Oshkosh. But for some Oshkoshians, EAA is a family affair. We caught up with Dylan during EAA.
I've been here pretty much my whole life. My whole family works here. My dad, my mom, and my brother. Awesome. So I've always been around EAA. It's just a cool experience to be here every year. My favorite part is meeting new people and seeing the F-22s.
If you're enjoying New Wisco Weekend on WGBW and WISS, we invite you to tell a friend about us. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts, as well as at civicmedia.us. Click on shows and then choose New Wisco Weekend.
Oh, my sweet Fraulein down in Berlin town, makes my heart start to yearn.
Just ahead, songs about Wisconsin, including one partially written by the great Bob Dylan. You won't want to miss any of this story. This is New Wisco Weekend.
Over the sea, I remember the night when we walked in the sand of Waikiki and I held you oh so tight.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm your host, Lisa Hale. Traveling the Badger State, you probably know that there are many sites with unique stories. But can you hear those stories? Consider the connection between folk singer Bob Dylan and Wisconsin, or Elvis and Bay Beach Amusement Park in Green Bay. Internationally touring Milwaukee-based musician Trapper Shep expands on these incredible stories with Terry Barr, and he does it through song.
Bay Beach. The tickets are like a quarter. Inflation has not hit Bay Beach. It's a community-owned and operated amusement park in Green Bay, Wisconsin, that is home to all these classic rides. So it's like the Tilt-A-Whirl, bumper cars. But you know, it's not old-timey as like a nostalgic ripoff. It's like old-timey because they just haven't changed it. And then the park is most famous for the Zip and Pippin.
It'll zip you to the left, zip you to the right. Zip and Pippin wanna ride with you on Saturday nights.
And 8 days before Elvis Presley died, he famously rode the Zip and Pippin from 1 a.m. until 6 a.m, where the Zip and Pippin previously was in Memphis. There's this point in the Zip and Pippin when it reaches the top, when it would kind of stall, and Elvis actually hopped off the ride and stood on the top of the Zip and Pippin, and then the ride came to the end and he wasn't on it. So they say the pills killed Elvis, but I think it was the Zip and Pippin, Terry.
Oh, man. What a story. And the
Isn't
thing is, it's
crazy?
Real.
Yeah.
And now it's they moved the Zip and Pippin from Memphis when Libertyland, the park that was there, closed. So they moved it to Green Bay. The city of Green Bay bought it. It's cool. It's like really withstood the test of time. And I think that's what makes it charming.
I like this one line in your song that is, now that I'm older, 6'1".
Yeah.
I'm going to take this ride and have my fun. And that just makes me laugh when I hear that.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. That whole album is like, it's about an amusement park. It's kind of like cheesy, but in the fun way.
The other Wisconsin thing, can we talk about the Bob Dylan song?
Of course we can, Terry.
Oh, my goodness. And when you hear On Wisconsin, when you sing it, it kind of gives you goosebumps.
It's hard to believe for me. To the listeners that don't know the story, when Bob Dylan was 20, his last stop before New York City was Madison, Wisconsin. Bob Dylan became the biggest folk singer in the world. The day he went into the recording studio to begin work on his first studio album, he wrote a song called Wisconsin, and it did not appear on his first album. 57 years later, I'm scrolling through Facebook and I see this article that says the lyrics by Bob Dylan about Wisconsin up for auction, $30,000. And I'm like, yo, I can't afford that, but I could probably finish the song, and I put it out there on the World Wide Web, and Rolling Stone takes notice, Billboard takes notice, and then Bob Dylan's lawyers take notice. They sent me a message. I got that little ding on my phone.
Yep.
That would change my life forever. And it was just like, would Trapper Shep be interested in publishing? If I would be down with having a song published with his Bobness. And of course, I said yes immediately. The song is really beautiful about this drifter character who's dreaming of his creature comforts back home in Wisconsin. But the lyrics, just so your listeners can hear, they're like, yeah, Wisconsin is a dare state. Guess you all know it well. I was in Walwood, Tulsa. The truth I will tell. It's a milk and cheese and cream. Yes, I've known it all my days. And I'm going to Wisconsin. I'm leaving right away. So, it's kind of cool.
Fascinating. I love that story.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Milwaukee. Since my heart ain't glow, I'm a coming to that state and my heart's beating fast. And I'll jerk my banjo gently, twiddle my mustache on Wisconsin. On Wisconsin, calling me that way. On Wisconsin. I left there long ago. Ones are coming now, it seems. I'll tune my banjo in the hills and feast on milk and cream. And I'll stamp my foot through the grass, and I'll never know or care. Yes, my home's in Wauwatosa, and I'm going there on Wisconsin. On Wisconsin. On Wisconsin, I think I'm
city ways are driving me insane to drink. My home's in Wisconsin. It's a better place, I think. I have been in California and I've been all around, but my home's in Wisconsin and I'm gonna own this town. On Wisconsin, on Wisconsin, calling me that way.
Thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend, your look at the stories and issues facing Northeast Wisconsin. New Wisco Weekend is produced by Todd Michaels, written and directed by Lisa Hale. It features correspondents Terry Barr, Conrad Krieger, Pete Schwava, and commentary by Amanda Nimmer. Special appearances this week by John Mino and Jim Schmidt. Musical guest Trapper Shep. If you have a story you'd like to hear covered, please feel free to email me anytime. lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.